Britain is reforming the House of Lords. Last week, Prime Minister Tony Blair's government set aside a modernization plan that was 5 years in the making and sent the matter to a joint committee of Parliament. From London, NPR's Julie McCarthy reports on efforts to transform the centuries-old bastion of privilege into a democratically elected assembly.
The UK Parliament consists of two chambers housed in Westminster, the Upper House of Lords and the Lower House of Commons. The elected Commons has, over the last century, become the more powerful and unruly.
There is nobody on this side of the chamber who believes the Redd principle has any place in a modern democracy.
The Upper House has only limited power to advise on legislation. Even so, its legitimacy is under attack because not a single member is elected. Gilbert and Sullivan, in their operetta Iolanthe, satirized what's known as the coziest, most undemocratic club in Britain with images that endure today.
Charming persons, are they not? Distinctly. For self-contained dignity combined with airy condescension, give me a British representative peer.
The House of Peers throughout the war did nothing in particular.
Today, there are 92 hereditary peers, a medieval holdover. The vast majority of the sitting lords and ladies, some 575, have been appointed by various prime ministers. Accountable to no one, they hold unpaid office for life.
Nobody but nobody should get into Parliament or the Congress or the Senate unless they've been elected and can be removed.
Tony Benn, the first person in Britain to renounce his hereditary peerage so he could sit in the House of Commons, says the current composition of the Lords makes Britain the least democratic of the Western democracies.
That this argument should be going on in Britain in the year 2002 is quite incredible. It is embarrassing to me. We are the last colony left in the British Empire.
Opponents of an elected House of Lords say that a second chamber chosen by the people would compete with and diminish the House of Commons. And, says Conservative MP Sir Patrick Cormick, subjecting the Lords to an election would empty the upper house of luminaries such as architect Lord Norman Foster and ethicist Baroness Warnock.
None of those people would wish to seek election. And so what you've got is a council of wise men and women, where the nation's most eminent doctors, men of law, men of science, men of arms, and women, of course, in every connection, are part of the legislative process. So why throw it away?
But Baroness Shirley Williams says the Lords must grasp democratic reform or die out. The Liberal Democratic peer says a majority of members should be elected, and a small number of seats reserved for cultural, scientific, and academic figures. Williams says calling such experts to testify, as the U.S. Senate does, isn't the same as having full-time experts in-house.
It's what you talk about over a drink. It's what you talk about over tea. It's what you talk about over a meal, which actually invests the whole of the House of Lords with a curious sense of respect for knowledge and wisdom, and a much lower respect for people who simply talk the political talk.
Prime Minister Tony Blair agrees. His government proposed that 80% of the seats in the Lords be appointed. But his critics argue Blair is trying to preserve the Prime Minister's prerogative to reward supporters with peerage. Blair insists he has shared the power to appoint peers with other political parties.
Let's get one thing straight about this. The previous Prime Minister has appointed every single life peer in the House of Lords. And remember, in the House of Lords, the Conservatives still have more peers than we do.
Under Blair, 9 out of 10 hereditary peers are gone. But his government's plan for electing just 20% of the House of Lords satisfied neither his own party nor the opposition Conservatives, who are new converts to the Democratic cause. Surveys show the British public thinks it's time to elect a House of Lords, too. Political commentator Hugo Young says anything short of a wholly elected body could undercut a new House.
Once you cross the barrier towards election, why only 20%? You might equally say, which seems to be the current favourite figure, why only 60%? I mean, it's a typical British compromise.
Parliament would also have to compromise on a new name. The House of Lords could one day be called the Senate. Julie McCarthy, NPR News, London.